Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the Earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see our friends. When I'm a road.
This is Christopher Hart. Welcome to the American Adversaries Second Helping Podcast, where we offer you up a sample of our American Adversaries radio show, which you can listen to live Sunday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on our station's website, theanswerorlando.com, or either live or from the archive on our website, americanadversaries.com, and our Rumble channel, American Adversaries. We opened the week on Sunday night when Kathy Santomassino, Pierce Outlaw, and I we're joined by our fellow broadcaster and podcaster, known nationwide, Carl Jackson, as he described a J6 event he attended the night before featuring FBI whistleblower Steve Friend and Walkaway founder Brandon Strock. Carl is a trailblazer. I call him the Reverend Jackson because he preaches the conservative gospel like nobody else can.
The right Reverend Jackson.
That's right. So let's welcome Carl Jackson back on with us. Carl, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Now, Carl was last night at an event that was sponsored by Grassroots for America. That's a local organization here, grassroots organization, and you can visit them at grassrootsforamerica.org, grassrootsforamerica.org, and it was entitled What Really Happened on January the 6th. You had FBI whistleblower Steve Friend there along with Brandon Strock. He is the walk-away guy and who was arrested that day for simply standing outside videotaping what was going on. He wasn't arrested that day, but several days later they did raid his house. So, Carl, tell us what happened last night and what you learned.
Yeah, you know what? It was a great event put on by Robin of Grassroots for America. Honestly, the stories of both the guys, both the FBI whistleblower, Stephen Friend and Brandon Strock were absolutely amazing. Brandon, obviously, you pretty much summed it up, but I mean, he went through the great, just details and specificity of his arrest, him, his house being raided. This was the guy that was literally invited to speak on or perhaps in the Capitol earlier. And he was told that everything was on the, you know, up and up. And so were dozens of other speakers. There was never any intent for any violence whatsoever. The guy goes to Washington, D.C. He's from Nebraska. He goes to speak. He watches Trump's speech. He listens to Trump say, now we're going to go in peacefully and patriotically protest. But this was all a part of the plan. And as far as what Brandon Strzok shared was that this was a plan that was even shared and known by the groundspeople in advance, that it wasn't just that moment in time. They literally planned to Trump and the other speakers there, give the speech, move down towards the Capitol, protest outside of the Capitol. So literally, this was something that was known, and this is why I do believe this was a major setup. Now, that isn't to say, and the guys admitted, even Brandon Strzok, that there were some people that obviously got out of hand, some people that broke the law. Did they intend to overturn the gun? No, it's absolutely insane. He was on the east side. They never saw any of that stuff happening. And then there were people on the west side, a few hundred people that caused some chaos. But the vast majority of people that they saw on the east side, they weren't seeing any of that type of activity whatsoever. So literally, he filmed some stuff on the outside of the Capitol. I mean, 30, 40, 50 feet away from the Capitol. He's a shorter guy, so he's lifting up his phone to make sure that he captures what's going on in the Capitol. There was no violence, nothing like that. So he returns to his place. He was set to go on the Tucker Carlson show that night to talk about his speech and to talk about all this kind of stuff. So he was getting calls from Tucker Carlson, Newsmax, OAN at the time, all of them asking, are you there? We want you to come on this evening. Yes, I'm here, so on, et cetera. And then later, Tucker Carlson's program contact him a couple of hours later and said, we're not going to have you on anymore. The story is changing. And he's like, what do you mean? The story's changing. And then he turns on the news, and he sees all of this chaos and starts hearing the words insurrection and all this kind of stuff. And he said he was looking at the video, and he was like, is this fake? Did this happen another day? Did this happen after we left? I didn't see any of this, any of this stuff. And so it was, I guess, a matter of days that the FBI got in contact with him, told him he was in deep trouble. They ended up going to his apartment in Nebraska, raiding his apartment, taking all of his equipment, putting him in jail. He detailed that process, everything they did. Strip search inside of the jail, and I mean just everything they could to completely humiliate the guy, and it was a terrifying process for him. All the while, this guy took 8 minutes of video outside of the Capitol, never saw any violence. No one around him attempted any type of violence whatsoever. But they were ready to set this narrative, and he started figuring it out, obviously, a little bit later. But he noticed the word insurrection, coup, all this kind of stuff. And then he just got this feeling like, oh, my God. Yeah. Obviously, once he was arrested, these people are going to try to take me down.
Yeah. Real quickly, earlier in the day, before the violence even started, there were reports coming out on PBS about an insurrection at the Capitol building. So, yeah. This stuff, was a setup in a big way, and he got caught up in it, it appears.
Yeah, it was definitely a setup. There's no doubt in my mind. Well, I mean, once he shared the fact that, it wasn't a spontaneous thing. We're going to go in peacefully. That wasn't spontaneous. That's something that they had known all right along, at least a week in advance.
Yeah, for people who don't know, the plan was for Trump and these other people, once Trump made the speech, was to go to the Capitol and do a rally there. And then the Secret Service evidently told Pelosi before they told Trump that they didn't think that was a good idea and they weren't going to take him, that they were advising against him going there. So you're right. There was, and that's why he says, now we will walk down and peacefully and patriotically let them hear our voices. They were going to have a rally outside the Capitol building. Carl, I just have a few seconds left. Can you stay with me another segment or two?
Sure.
Okay, Pierce, you're going to say.
Yeah, Carl, the story Carl's telling, I have a fraternity brother from my school in Georgia who was at the rally, Trump speech, and he described it as a Trump rally. He was also on the east side of the Capitol and started getting phone calls from WSB Radio in Atlanta telling him to get out. And the story that he describes is exactly what Brandon Strock described. And I know for a fact these two guys don't know each other.
We'll be back with Carl Jackson on with us, the American Adversaries. Once again, you can find Carl at thecarljacksonshow.com. We'll be right back.
Network sound and video. Many folks are worried that their old videotapes are worn or broken, but aren't they worth restoring? If you could watch your children play when they were little, be there for a birthday party, sporting event, or bring back the memories of a family member, wouldn't that be priceless? Network sound and video will fix and restore your old videos so you can enjoy them again for years to come. What could be more precious than your family videos? Call 407-834-8555. 407-834-8555.
Call me and I'll do the rest. I'm Abby Greenberg with the Golden Group at Compass, the number one brokerage in the country. It's a seller's market and there's no better time to list your house. I'll get it sold and get you the greatest return on your real estate investment. Need to make renovations first? Through Compass Concierge, we'll cover the renovation costs up front and sell your house for top dollar. I'm Abby Greenberg, and you can sell your home with ease with the Golden Group. 407-484-2689.
When you begin any journey, whether it's a short one or a long one, you want to feel confident that you'll get there and back without any problems or hassles. So you want to be sure your vehicle is in optimum operating condition. That means if you own a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry and Janice Shepard of Jerry's MB Service, where they specialize in Mercedes-Benz service and repair. Jerry's MB is family-owned and operated with factory-trained technicians, so they are the dealership alternative. So whether it's regular maintenance or a repair of any size, the experts at Jerry's MB know what it takes to keep your Mercedes running smoothly and dependably. They're easy to find just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF, at 551 South Econ Circle. You can call ahead to make an appointment at 407-366-6499 or just bring your Mercedes in and they'll do the rest. Remember, Jerry's MB is the dealership alternative. So give him a call at 407-366-6499 or visit jerrysmb.com.
Do you suffer from nagging back or neck pain? Wake up feeling more exhausted than the night before? What about that sleep partner who's turning your nights into a concert of snores or dealing with breathing issues? Discover a better night's sleep and a better day at Relax and Comfort. At Relax and Comfort, we're all about elevating your sleep experience, and we've got all the top brands to prove it, including Tempur-Pedic, Personal Comfort, and Stearns & Foster. Our smart beds aren't just beds. They're your personalized sleep sanctuary with hundreds of healthy positions. They're designed to fit you perfectly. Plus, they have an amazing feature, automatic snore detection and response. No more sleepless nights because of a noisy partner. The best part? We're conveniently located at Winter Park Village, just across from Regal Cinemas. Come see us today and experience a night's sleep like never before. Relax in Comfort, where better sleep leads to better days. That's relaxandcomfort.com or visit us in person at the Winter Park Village, just across from Regal Cinemas, a family tradition since 1967.
Friends, Larry Adams of the American Adversaries here to remind you to call Cafe Positano's right now and ask about today's chef specials. You know they make the best pizza, strombolis, and calzones, but call ahead, the menu changes. Maybe tonight they'll have chicken with mustardello sauce, salmon in a mango citrus glaze, flounder with mushrooms and spinach in a wine reduction, or Parmesan-crusted T-bone steak. Got you drooling yet? Google it now and dine in, pick up, or have delivered Central Florida's most authentic Italian food, Cafe Positano's.
Hey, Central Florida. Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777. 1-800-327-7337 or at herringcpa.com.
AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer.
All right. That was as Trump was taking the stage at a rally in Iowa over the weekend. Back to Carl Jackson. Once again, Carl does a great podcast. You can also hear him sitting in for Officer Tatum, Mike Gallagher, and sometimes Dennis Prager as well. By the way, you're going to be in for Tatum this week, Carl? You know?
I don't have anyone scheduled, so hopefully soon.
Okay. All right. Anyway, you can find him at thecarljacksonshow.com. Also, yesterday at this What Really Happened on January 6th event, sponsored by Grassroots for America, grassrootsforamerica.org, was Steve Friend, who was former FBI, is now a whistleblower. And, you know, Congressman Clay Higgins has come out. He did a sit-down with Tucker Carlson where he talks about there were up to 200 FBI, he called them assets, or federal assets, in the crowd that day, you know, posing as Trump supporters and the like. So just in general, what did Stephen Friend speak about, and did he speak to that sort of thing?
He did, but honestly, I think he took the you guys may or may not know that Stephen Friend was one of the FBI agents that was on the Gretchen Whitmer case that literally was told to go after these guys that were plotting to kidnap the governor of Michigan.
Some people would say that was a forerunner of what happened on January the 6th. In other words, you had these FBI assets making the thing happen. Please go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was. And frankly, before then, he was, Stephen Friend was, you know, an FBI agent, obviously in good standing, and on FBI SWAT as well. He said, you know, at that point, you know, maybe 8, 9, even 10 months after 9/11, or not 9/11, I'm sorry, after January 6th, he assumed everything was on the up and up. He assumed the FBI was just doing what they needed to do. They were catching, you know, and then he got assigned to some of these cases, and he started looking into some of these cases, and he started saying right away he noticed how they were, the FBI were not using typical FBI protocol in order to go after Trump supporters, and in a way in which he had never seen before. And he had brought this to the FBI's attention, his comrades, his colleagues, I should say, and people over him as well. They mentioned the whole Gretchen Whitmer thing because he was involved in that. He thought that would be a bad idea, and he stated as much because he said, guys, we could be looking at a Ruby Ridge. But basically, he's convinced. He's like, listen, the FBI needs to be totally dismantled. This is coming from an FBI guy. He said it just doesn't operate the same. I've interviewed Stephen Friend a couple of times on my podcast as well as on air when I sat in for some of these other guys. But he is convinced that it needs to be taken down because the FBI spends a lot of the work, a lot of their time not doing any work. They get bonuses. They get bonuses, $30,000-$50,000 annual bonuses, if they meet quota systems. And so, as far as domestic terrorists are concerned, so the January 6th is a cash cow, basically for the FBI. And there's something else that I want to bring to your attention, and this was very discouraging, both from Stephen Friend and from Brandon Straka. They're under no illusion that the Republicans will do anything about it. And that includes, sadly, even if there's a Trump win, because a lot of the people, there's so much grift inside of the MAGA movement that is absolutely not real, that they're convinced of. And honestly, this is something that I've felt all along. I feel like Trump is such a popular figure. A lot of people will attach their names to it, and I see it online. I've said this before. I am thoroughly convinced that minimum of 50% of the people that I once respected as Trump followers are completely fake and are go Trump for the sake of getting clicks and for the sake of making money. but they're not necessarily real. And I think Bruce Terry could share this to you, because what he shared and what they shared, it's happening on local levels as well. But basically, Brandon Straka, he was like, listen, you can name some of the big-name congressmen, the MAGA congressmen, the Jim Jordans of the world, the Andy Biggs of the world. He was like, they don't do jack crap. They will tell you, you know, they'll say what they have to say, you know, to get on television and all this kind of stuff. But they have no intention of handling this January 6th stuff.
Yeah, well, I think that they've kind of demonstrated that far over the last year, as they've kind of dilly-dallied around with it. Nonetheless, it would seem to me that, you know, that the MAGA people that are true to Trump are basically our only hope at this point. Because as I was saying earlier in the show, I would agree with Biden in this, and that this election is about the future of our democracy. Are we going to have one or not? And if we allow what these guys are talking about to go forward, we're not going to have a democracy. As you've elucidated on your show numerous times, Trump never acted like a dictator, but Joe Biden sure does. And this Justice Department and this FBI are reminiscent of a police state, you know, Dinesh D'Souza's movie. And it's we're moving in the wrong direction, and in a big way. I do think that there is a core of people in Congress who would do something about this. I think Corey Mills is one. I think Byron Donalds is one. There's a handful of others, but certainly we have to build upon that. And you're right. And I think in terms of what we see now with a lot more of these congressmen coming out and endorsing Trump, is I think they see him as the winning horse, you know, and they don't want to be with the winner type thing. To get back to what happened on January the 6th, as you were saying, Steve Friend saw this up close with the Gretman Whitmer thing, where they had FBI assets, not FBI agents per se, but assets, informants and the like, who were pushing these things forward. But it was at the behest, at the end of the day, of the FBI, Carl, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and honestly, this precedes January 6th. I mean, that was the case that he was making. January 6th gave them their biggest opportunity to cash in on this new term that they developed after 9/11, homegrown terrorism. And so he said, listen, it was, you know, a few years, you know, we did a lot of interceding when it came to domestic terrorist threats within the United States. But honestly, we did a pretty good job. I mean, we curtailed a lot of those threats. The United States, for the most part, you know, with the exception of a threat here and there, was a very safe place to be. So it's almost like the FBI were salivating for an instance like January 6th, because you got a bunch of, you know, lefties in there and a bunch of lazy people, as Stephen Friend, you know, basically says, that literally 27 to 30% of their time get paid to do absolutely nothing. What we pay the FBI is insane. It is insane, given how much they just twiddle their fingers. And he admitted this. He was like, listen, I'm exposing all of it. He's written a book called True Blue. They asked him not to share certain things.
Well, Carl, can you do one more segment after we get back from
the break? Sure.
Okay. And once again, we're speaking with Carl Jackson. True Blue is the book by Steve Friend. You can get it. I suggest that you do. True Blue. And we'll come back once again. Carl Jackson, you find him at thecarljacksonshow.com. Thecarljacksonshow.com. We'll be right back.
Is so, so important, because the American people, they deserve transparency and accountability.
A lot to unpack there. Of course, the White House has said that Hunter Biden is acting unilaterally on the issue of election integrity, though. As you know, Trump took his case to court more than 60 times that there was fraud. He didn't win. But I want to get back to this key question. Do you still think it was a tragic day? Do you think that the people who stormed the Capitol should be held responsible to the full extent of the law?
I have concerns about the treatment of January 6 hostages. I have concerns. We have a role in Congress of oversight over our treatments of prisoners. And I believe that we're seeing the weaponization of the federal government against not just President Trump, but we're seeing it against conservatives. We're seeing it against Catholics. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so proud to serve on the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Government, because the American people want answers. answers. They want transparency. And they understand that as you look across this country, there seems to be two sets of rules. If your last name is Clinton or it's Biden, you get to live by a different set of rules than if you're an everyday patriotic American. I've been clear, Kristen, if you go back and play the full speech I gave on the House floor, I condemn the violence just like I condemn the violence of the BLM riots. But I also importantly stood for election integrity and security of our elections, which if we don't have that, we do not have a democracy. So the real threat to our democracy is these baseless witch hunt investigations and lawsuits against President Trump, whether it's Tish James or whether we see in the D.C. Circuit Court. And that is undemocratic, and it's shredding our Constitution. And you know who agrees with me, Kristen? The American people. That's why President Trump is winning in poll after poll against Joe Biden.
The Justice Department.
Back to you, Carl Jackson. That's Elise Stefanik this morning on Meet the Punks with Kristen Welker. Did she get it right?
Yeah, I think she did get it right, and I'm really, I mean, her let me be honest, her, Elise Stefanik, her conservative rating is, she's basically a liberal, but I will say this, I am so thankful for some of the stuff that she's done, especially in light of Harvard and questioning all these elitists, and I think she's spot on here as well, because she's helping to, she has a great ability, oratory ability, a great ability to present and frame arguments, and I think she's starting to make the left pay. So for that, I'm extremely grateful for what she's exposing. There are two quick points that I want to make clear, or that I forgot to make. One with Brandon Straka, just so the people understand how evil the FBI has become. One of the things that they did with Brandon Straka when they Brandon Straka when they offered him a plea deal. You know, basically it was a misdemeanor, so on, et cetera, but they've made his life a living hell. They made him plead guilty to all of these things, confess to all of these things that he essentially didn't do. He told his attorney he did not want that plea deal. He didn't want to have to say those things. But they said either that or you go to Washington, D.C. and try your luck with a D.C. jury and attorney. So he said, fine, I'll sign this plea agreement. But at one point when he went in to make the plea agreement official, the FBI wanted to ask him a few more questions, and his attorney said, yeah, you know, that's fine, go ahead. He was with them or what have you. And they started asking him whether or not he knew certain people. I think he said a total of approximately 18 people, and his attorney had warned him before, hey, they may try to do this or that even while they're working with you to with this plea deal to see if they catch you in a lie. So he was like, just be truthful. That's all you have to do. And so he was like, fine, sure. You know, that's fine. It was actually the J6 committee. I'm sorry. This was after he got probation, and then the J6 committee wanted him to testify, I think a second time in front of them. And so when he got in front of the committee, they started asking him if he knew all of these people. And half of them he knew. He was like almost literally to a number. Half he knew, the other half he had never heard of. And he said that to them, and then they were pretty much done with him. And he said he walked out of that hearing with the J6 committee, and he just sat there and he thought, well, what was that even about? You know, it was just weird. But his attorney said, well, listen, we'll just chalk it up as, listen, you get this plea deal. You're not going to have to spend, you know, any more time in jail, so on, et cetera. So we'll just chalk it up as a win and, you know, so on. But later, and this would be several months later, J6 committee did was they released the names of the people that they had asked him about and put it in the news and in New York Times that these are the names that basically Brandon Straka had snitched on. He did nothing of the sort. But this was the type of game that the J6 committee and that the FBI were playing in cahoots with each other, just so you know how evil these institutions just so you know how evil these institutions are. And sadly, I do believe that if you're a Trump supporter, if you absolutely have no chance. And honestly, they have to be defunded at the very least. Steve Friend, he's written an article on the Federalist, how they have to be, the FBI absolutely have to be disarmed at the very least, or they are going to continue to wreak absolute havoc And just to tie into another point that I made, I know this is hard stuff to hear.
Well, I tell you what, Carl, but I'm up against the clock again, and it's once again a hard break. Can you stay over one more time and make that
okay.
other point?
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Once again, we're speaking with Carl Jackson, and he's talking about primarily about an event that he attended last night here in Central Florida called What Really Happened on January the 6th. It was sponsored by Grassroots for America, a great organization here locally. If they could spread out around the country, be in a lot better shape. But you can find out more about them at grassrootsforamerica.org, grassrootsforamerica.org, and get a copy of Stephen Friend's book, True Blue, and explains in much more detail what we've been talking about here tonight about his experiences with the FBI. All right, so you are listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show. It is, a 3-hour Sunday classic tour. We got a lot more to go, so I hope you'll stay with us. And don't forget to find us on our Rumble channel, American Adversaries, and our website, AmericanAdversaries.com.
Network sound and video. Many folks are worried that their old videotapes are worn or broken. But aren't they worth restoring? If you could watch your children play when they were little, be there for a birthday party, sporting event, or bring back the memories of a family member, wouldn't that be priceless? Network sound and video will fix and restore your old videos so you can enjoy them again for years to come. What could be more precious than your family videos? Call 407-834-8555. 407-834-8555.
We all know how important it is to keep our home, work, and vehicles as clean as possible. That's why you should know Jeff Bonney and the team at Images Auto Spas and the Supreme Car Detailing Superstores. You see, they know the science of cleaning.
The science of clean. Nice.
They understand how dirt and germs cling to surfaces and how to rid those surfaces of those germs and dirt and keep them off. At the Supreme Car Detailing Superstores, they have the products and tools you need to do it yourself, or they can do it for you at Images Auto Spas. Images Auto Spas are located at East Colonial Drive and Bennett Road and at 510 North State Road 434 alongside one Supreme Car Detailing Superstore. The other is at 8119 South Orange Avenue at Sand Lake Road. Go to dasuperstore.com. That's dasuperstore.com. And remember, 7 days a week, you can get the Ultra Shine at either Images Auto Spa for only $20. If you mentioned you heard about it on the American Adversaries Radio Show, do some gift shopping while you're there as well. That's dasuperstore.com.
Call me and I'll do the rest. I'm Abby Greenberg with the Golden Group at Compass, the number one brokerage in the country. It's a seller's market and there's no better time to list your house. I'll get it sold and get you the greatest return on your real estate investment. Need to make renovations first? Through Compass Concierge, we'll cover the renovation costs up front and sell your house for top dollar. I'm Abby Greenberg, and you can sell your home with ease with the Golden Group. 407-484-2689.
When you begin any journey, whether it's a short one or a long one, you want to feel confident that you'll get there and back without any problems or hassles. So you want to be sure your vehicle is in optimum operating condition. That means if you own a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry and Janice Shepard of Jerry's MB Service, where they specialize in Mercedes-Benz service and repair. Jerry's MB is family-owned and operated with factory-trained technicians, so they are the dealership alternative. So whether it's regular maintenance or a repair of any size, the experts at Jerry's MB know what it takes to keep your Mercedes running smoothly and dependably. They're easy to find just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF, at 551 South Econ Circle. You can call ahead to make an appointment at 407-366-6499 or just bring your Mercedes in and they'll do the rest. Remember, Jerry's MB is the dealership alternative. So give him a call at 407-366-6499 or visit jerrysmb.com.
Do you suffer from nagging back or neck pain? Wake up feeling more exhausted than the night before? What about that sleep partner who's turning your nights into a concert of snores or dealing with breathing issues? Discover a better night's sleep and a better day at Relax and Comfort. At Relax and Comfort, we're all about elevating your sleep experience, and we've got all the top brands to prove it, including Tempur-Pedic, Personal Comfort, and Stearns & Foster. Our smart beds aren't just beds. They're your personalized sleep sanctuary with hundreds of healthy positions. They're designed to
fit you perfectly. Plus, they have an amazing feature, automatic snore detection and response. No more sleepless nights because of a noisy partner. The best part, we're conveniently located at Winter Park Village, just across from Regal Cinemas. Come see us today and experience a night's sleep like never before. Relax in comfort, where better sleep leads to better days. That's relaxincomfort.com or visit us in person at the Winter Park Village, just across from Regal Cinemas, a family tradition since 1967.
AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer.
President Trump recently said he referred to migrants as, quote, poisoning the blood of our country. This is language that the Biden campaign, others.
All right, that's Elise Stefanik again. We'll play this clip later on in the show because I want to go right back to Carl Jackson. Once again, he was at this event last night, sponsored by Grassroots for America, grassrootsforamerica.org. And you were going to make a second point that you had wanted to make, Carl.
Yeah, you know, basically, it kind of just stay in the fight. One of the things that Bruce Cherry, I didn't realize how things had gotten.
Now, real quick, you mentioned, hold on a second, you've mentioned Bruce a couple times. Bruce Cherry is the chair of the Seminole County Republican Party. So that's his role that he plays in this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, very, very important point. I mean, he's crucial for the I-4 corridor. This is very important. But one of the reasons why I mentioned some of the fraudsters and some of the grifters when it comes to Trump, because it's spilling over into local places where more conservative America First type candidates are going to be very, very important. So what's happening in places like Seminole County, you have Republicans that are strategically not showing up to these meetings so that some of these leaders can't get a quorum. So basically their meetings aren't invalid, but pretty much they can't do much. They can't get much done. And also what they're experiencing are people that are the America First type people that helped usher in changes in some of these local executive committees have now fallen off the wagon as like a shiny new toy. They were excited at first. They made things happen, but they are dropping like flies when it comes to getting the work done and the type of candidates needed afterwards. So it is very important that for those of you that are, America First type people, go to these local meetings if you can. Make sure they have enough people there to actually get stuff done. To change the tide within the Republican Party, because I'm just being real. I know this is uncomfortable to talk about, but if you have American First candidates fighting with rhinos, I don't care if it's Trump or DeSantis that gets in, they're not going to be as effective as possible if within the first year these people start running to be establishment candidates again. So this is something that is very important. You know, conservatives aren't used to the type of fight that I think we're seeing now. You've got literal communists that are running the Democrat Party, in my opinion, and you have Republicans who are basically what Democrats were 20 years ago.
I know.
They really don't know what time it is.
It's like, and Kathy used the expression, American communists, the Democrat Party have become the party of the communists, but the Republican Party are rapidly becoming the party of socialism, right? When they go along with these big spending bills and everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're spending us into our demise. All right, just a little bit more time with you. Pierce has a point.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the situation with Brandon Stock and Steve Friend. You know, Peter Strzok told us in 2016, we're going to stop him. And they did FISA Gate. They did the Steele dossier. Jim Comey went to the White House and triggered her special prosecutor. Then they did January 6th. Now it's the lawfare trying to put Trump in jail. So we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. And when Christopher Wray goes to Congress and refuses to answer questions, he must be replaced. We must defund these people. And we got to remember, they told us what they were going to do. And no amount of spin by the media or the left can put that toothpaste back in the tube. It's happening.
Carl?
Yeah. And honestly, they don't care. I mean, they're out in the open. Listen, guys, I mean, all of this is the Clower-Pippen strategy. There are 8 steps to destroy the country, and the Democrats are implementing it soundly. And Trump is in the way right now. And quite frankly, I think this type of pressure would be put on anyone that is a true conservative, frankly. They have no choice. Like, they started with COVID. They're not going to backtrack. It's only going to get worse. They are only going to they're communists. It's as simple as that. And they're telling us exactly what they're going to do. You're right, Pierce. They have been telling us exactly what they're going to do. And guess what, guys? They're going to continue to tell us exactly what they're going to do. All I would tell people is believe them.
Yeah.
Believe them and fight back. That's
well,
all.
Matthew Graves said it just the other day. They're coming after more
yep.
people. All you had to do was be on the Capitol grounds that day, and you're subject to being arrested.
That day.
Yeah.
I was going to go that day. Something came up. I am so grateful that it did. I was literally supposed to drive down there with a friend, and I would have been there. Yeah. And God forbid, who knows? I mean, just who knows?
No, you'd be a trophy just like Brandon Strock was.
Yeah, well, I'll be glad when finally somebody holds Nancy Pelosi's feet to the fire for not having that place secured, because she knew she was part of wanting this all to happen, and it was.
Yeah.
It was fairly easy to see that there was going to be trouble that day. I know that the Buff man, Matt Buff, and I did a couple podcasts leading up to that, saying, if you're going to Washington, D.C., be careful, because there's going to be trouble. The Antifa people are going to be there. BLM is going to be there. And didn't predict that the FBI would be in there doing this. But it turns out they were the main troublemakers out of the whole mess. Well, Carl, well, thanks so much for being on with us tonight. Appreciate all your time. And I hear you were at the Mecum Auto Auction today. You buy anything?
No, I wish. But I tell you what, it's like being a kid in a candy store. If you get a chance, and thank you, Larry Adams, if he's out there listening. I mean, what a wonderful experience. And it's completely, I won't say completely, but much of it is not what I thought. I love the Mecum Auto Auctions. We're just watching them on TV. I could literally just zone out and for hours on that stuff when I just want my brain to kind of clear of all the junk. But I mean, just a wonderful, it's true Americana. It is there's literally car shows. It's basically a car show.
Right.
The auction is just a small part of it, but you could walk around their grounds, and I'm talking about thousands of cars with, you know, just Americans of all stripes, men, women, children out there just enjoying beautiful cars, you know, camaraderie. And I'm like, man, you go there, and it just felt like America. And obviously, it was amazing to see some of the beautiful cars out there. So I've never had the experience of doing that. I'm so thankful that Lair provided some tickets. I look forward to going again. It was such a great time.
And yes, that is the Lair Adams, who's normally with us when he's not with the Mecum people. Well, thank you so much, Carl. Love it. Love you, and love your podcast. Keep doing the great work that you're doing.
Thank you, guys. Love you, too. God bless you.
All right. That is Carl Jackson. And don't forget to find him at thecarljacksonshow.com. On Monday's show, co-host Lori Cardoza-Moore described a shift in how Americans worship God.
There's a movement within within Christianity, because I think people, like, you know, politicians, people are watching and scrutinizing their politicians, and we see a lot of the leaders in the Christian church who are not living, you know, they're not walking the walk and talking the talk. But the interesting thing is, the largest number of evangelical Christians who have left but are still remaining active in their faith. And they look, there was one article I was reading where they look at somebody like Trump, and even though Trump may not even go to, you know, to church, they see him as a man of faith. And he made the statement a couple of years ago that he was becoming non-denominational. So there's this interesting thing happening in American culture where we're not as confined to the church building, the church structure, but we're not leaving our faith. In fact, our faith is what's influencing our activity in politics, which is really just an amazing thing to see that happening. In fact, if you look at the polls, the numbers, the church numbers are dwindling, especially among the mainline denominations, which I'm not surprised to see that. But in studying this movement of Christians, especially the evangelical Christians who are leaving the institutional church, but they're maintaining their faith, and they're following leaders that they can get on the internet, that they're following, you know, religious leaders, podcasters, people, you know, who share their same values. And I think people have gotten frustrated that they've not been in congregations, that they look at what's happening in the world and they don't see their pastoral leadership really taking on the issues that we are facing today as a society. They hear silence from the pulpit. So they're going out to find the leaders who they're going to follow by going to these podcasts, going to online, yep, finding other opportunities. And, you know, that's one of the biggest movements. You see a lot of people who are following pastors, rabbis, religious leaders. They're doing it online.
Speaking of that, I was going through the channels the other night, and there's this one channel that I go to a lot that they got Perry Mason reruns on there, and they do some other of these old-time shows. But yeah, right next to it is the Sun Life Broadcasting Network.
Mm-hmm.
That's with Jimmy Swaggart. Now, the other night, it was about midnight or so, I dozed off and I woke up, and I had been watching a little Jimmy earlier, okay? Uh-huh. And then at late at night, they'll put on his rallies and his sermons from years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they had one on from 1985. And he was talking about the schools, mm-hmm, adopting secular humanism.
Oh, yeah.
And he was way ahead of his time.
Yeah.
He was condemning it. Mm-hmm. He was saying, this is going to be our children, their minds are going to be, you know, corrupted with this stuff.
Yeah.
And he was all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he still is. Now, his son, Donnie, has Bill Federer. They do a special, mm-hmm, show about the history of America and Bill Federer and the connection with the church and our founding and all of this. They make certainly a good attempt at it,
right,
and they still hold the sermons, mm-hmm, and the services in sort of a traditional sense. A lot of good music, I'll say that. Old Jimmy Lee, he can still tickle the ivories on the piano. I tell you
there
what.
You go.
And but their message has always been pro America,
mm-hmm,
understanding that the founders looked to the Bible.
That's right.
For inspiration on how to design our government.
Yeah.
And specifically the first
The Hebrew
five
Bible,
books.
The first, the Torah, that's where our form of government is established. And most Christians are not aware of that.
That's right. Now, Thomas Jefferson didn't consider himself to be a Christian, but he had his own Bible and he had, mm-hmm, basically made notations in it. He had clipped things out and switched things around. He had a Quran.
Mm-hmm.
He made notations in it, and he was famous for saying that, you know, the life of Jesus is the ultimate lifestyle that all humans should try to be.
Right.
And that our republic would, you know, depend, mm-hmm, on people of good moral character.
Right.
And, you know, the evil forces know that.
Yes.
Which is why they're trying to undermine our good moral character.
Right.
In every sort of way, with secular humanism in the schools, which has resulted in, you know, teachers hiding, you know, helping a kid transition his gender or her gender from their parents.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally upside down. So if you're not in the right church, there are others out there.
Yeah.
But just hang on to your faith.
Yeah.
You don't need the building. You just need your faith.
That's the key. And I think we all realize we're looking at the reality of what's happened to our nation.
Yeah.
And the avenues that we pursued didn't work. And I think people are looking for truth. They're seeking justice, righteousness, you know, mercy, kindness. Those are the qualities that people are looking for in a leader. And unfortunately, you know, we don't have very many leaders anymore.
Well, Donald Trump has all of those qualities.
He does have all those qualities.
Which is why they work so hard to make sure you can't see them.
Yeah.
Or try to make sure you can't see them. Which is why we pull back the veil and show it all to you right here tonight. Thanks, Lori. Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, PJTN.org. David Pollack coming up next. I'm looking forward to listening to his show. I hope you will as well. In American Medicine Today, Charlie Kirk and Officer Tatum. In the meantime, keep loving, keep praying, never give up, and never surrender. Night, everybody. on our Wednesday night show, our number one political consultant and President Trump confidant, Ned Ryan, joined us to talk about Fannie Willis's sex scandal and other issues involving the presidential race.
All right, well, we got a lot of news we're going to get to, and it just so happens we got the right man to get to it with. He, of course, is the author of Adversaries, a story of the Battle of Bunker Hill. He's also written Restoring Our Republic. He is the founder of American Majority, AmericanMajority.com, and also you can find him on Fox, often on Laura Ingraham, and last night with Jesse Waters. Of course, I'm talking about Ned Ryan. Ned, how you doing, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. Good to be back, you guys.
Well, I guess you picked a boring day to come back on. I mean, all we got is the Hunter Biden stunt, the phony Fannie love story, and Chris Christie just got out of the race. Where do you want to start? Let's start with Chris Christie.
That was never going to happen. It was such a quixotic attempt to try and make him into a competitive candidate that it was never going to happen. Nobody wants Chris Christie. The base doesn't want Chris Christie. I'm pretty sure most of the donor class didn't want Chris Christie. And, you know, this was inevitable. He just finally accepted the inevitable and saved himself being completely and utterly humiliated in Iowa. And then, obviously, if he'd chosen to go past that humiliation, being beaten again in New Hampshire, and then at some point he was going to drop out anyway. And he just decided might as well drop out now and kind of save some face.
Is he out of money?
I don't think he had much money to begin with.
That's funny.
I mean, this is the one thing that people, you know, there's some people that are agitating for Nikki Haley, and, you know, I think Ron DeSantis is going to be done after Iowa. I think Nikki's going to be done not too long after that. But at a certain point, people stop giving money to candidates if they don't think they can win. If they don't think they have a legitimate shot of winning, money dries up and dries up very quickly. That all to say, I'm not really sure Chris Christie had much money to begin with, and whatever money he did have, you know, it's gone. Right? So he was running on fumes and getting out there and trying to get some traction based off nothing.
Right. He certainly didn't have much in the way of poll numbers either, but of course, New Hampshire is where he was the strongest. Presumably, most of his voters will go to, I guess this is the guess anyway, this is the bet.
To Nikki Haley.
And would that be enough, though, to even make a difference?
You know, I think it'll tighten it a little bit. You know, again, I think DeSantis is out after Iowa. I think you then have Trump versus Nikki pretty much head on. In New Hampshire, I think Trump's going to win that, regardless of Chris Christie's voters going to her, because whatever Ron DeSantis voters are in New Hampshire, I would say probably not going to Nikki Haley. They'll probably go to Trump.
Right.
So I just don't see Nikki winning New Hampshire. I know there's some people agitating and trying to prop her up and think that somehow she's going to pull it off. Even if she does, you know, I don't see her lasting very long in the primary if she somehow even pulls out a miracle in New Hampshire. I remain fully convinced that this primary will be over by March 5th on Super Tuesday when Donald Trump wins a significant, in fact, the overwhelming majority of the delegates that basically mathematically puts out of reach of anybody else. So regardless of what happens over the next couple of primaries, I think Trump's going to win them all. I think it's over by March 5th.
Ned, when do you think Chris Christie will announce his new job at CNN?
He'll go back to ABC. No, he'll go back to ABC.
Yeah.
Remember, he was working at ABC. So he'll be welcome back on the morning show.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
No, and they'll prop him up as, you know, Republican. They'll probably try and, you know, somehow try and convince people that he's a conservative Republican. And hold him up and, you know, like they've done with others on MSNBC and CNN, and try and act as though that person is representative of the Republican Party, when in fact they represent maybe 2, 3, 4, 5% of the Republican Party. But sure, I mean, come on, Liz Cheney, Chris Christie, those types, they're all auditioning for the next MSNBC or CNN gig.
Yeah, no doubt.
Speaking of CNN, of course, tonight they're holding the final Republican debate before Iowa. And then right down the dial on Fox, you've got the town hall. Is this little rivalry, network rivalry going on with Fox trying to show up the people at CNN?
First of all, I have to confess, I've been you know, we've got a lot of projects with the American majority, been a little distracted. I'll confess right now, I'd forgotten there was another debate. Like, that's how insignificant this debate will be tonight in regards to influencing anybody in Iowa and how they're going to actually vote. But, of course, yeah, I mean, come on. People are going to be tuning into Fox anyway. So it's to the point of absurdity that after the first debate, they should have just pulled the plug on those. The main attraction, Donald Trump, was not there. He didn't need to be there. And these guys were trying to somehow persuade people that they were going to get momentum to be able to challenge Donald Trump, and I've not seen any evidence of that at any point in this race.
About the other side, of course, Joe Biden officially kicked off his campaign in, what was it, Bluebell in
near
Pennsylvania,
Valley Forge,
right, with another one of his, I'll call it the Philadelphia-style mm-hmm. speech.
A little fascist speech.
Yeah. But, you know, there had been a great deal of speculation. There still is, that he's not going to be the nominee. I've been saying for quite some time, it's a rematch. And in my mm-hmm. opinion, both primaries are already over. I mean, we're going through the formalities with the Republicans, but the Democrats aren't letting anybody else on the ballot, so Biden's going to be it.
Correct.
And with all the trouble that his son is in Joe's mind, he can't get out of this thing.
So I agree with you generally that Biden will be the nominee until he's not. I do think it will be Joe Biden, unless it becomes so untenable by the August DNC convention. There would be enough time for them to have an approved general floor revolt and take Biden out and put somebody else up as the general election nominee. So I've kind of proposed this. I think it was with Laura Ingraham at one point that, like, in the back of my mind, there's still this thought that there might be a floor revolt in Chicago in August at the DNC, when people just go, we can't win with this guy, right? He has too many scandals, the Hunter Biden thing. He's being, you know, there's real legitimate impeachment inquiry hearings that are, you know, airing all this dirty laundry. And, you know, besides the fact it's grandpa dementia, who might not even really know where he is at any given point. So I tend to think we are going towards a rematch. It's just I have in the back of my head, something might happen in August. We'll see.
You know, if I were a Democrat, I would not want to run based on what the Democrats have done over the last 3.5 years now, almost 3.5 years, that they're still going to be stuck with Bidenomics. They're still going to be stuck with his border policy. And if they try to get away from it, it's just going to drive a wedge within their own party. They are stuck in a no-win situation.
And again, the only reason I have this sneaking little suspicion something might happen, but I'm not fully convinced it will, it feels like they are stuck with Biden. Mm-hmm. If anybody was really going to make any moves and put themselves up as a legitimate successor, nobody's done that yet, right? Gavin Newsom's not doing it. Michelle Obama has been spouting off a little bit. She's never going to go and try and be the nominee. Kamala Harris, I think, terrifies 99% of the Democratic Party.
Oh, yeah.
They would never want her to be. And so you end up stuck with Biden. It will have to, and that's what, you know, another caveat to this, maybe something happens in August. It would have to be completely untenable, end of the world, for them to leave Biden off as their general election nominee. It has to be extremely bad, the poll numbers and everything else, for them to do that. So I generally think they're stuck with him, but then again, maybe the bottom is going to fall out by August. We'll see.
Yeah.
Ned, here's another question. When is enough enough with this Houthi situation in the Red Sea? You know, you saw yesterday or today we got showered with, again, a bunch of missiles and a bunch of – when's it over?
And what effect is that going to have on the campaigns?
Well, I think, first of all, that enough of the American people probably have to understand what's going on. So that's one of the things for it to become a bigger issue. Two, I think the Biden administration has made it very clear that they are extremely weak on, you know, international policy and dealing with some of these threats. I don't see them changing their behavior and how they're dealing with this. I think they'll do everything that they can to not actually aggressively face it. But I just don't know. Obviously, the corporate propagandists are not going to do any favors in highlighting us getting slapped around in that region of the world.
What about the lingering effects of the Lloyd Austin thing? Is that just going to be last week's news in a couple of days?
Yeah, I think it just highlights again the incompetence and the dysfunctional aspect of this administration. I mean, my first question was when I heard that Austin was AWOL for 4 days or whatever it was. You know, did the real President Obama know? Because that was my question, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Biden doesn't even know where he is half the time. Did the real President Obama actually know that Lloyd Austin had kind of disappeared? But I think I'm not going to get too wrapped around the axle on this one. It is a bit troubling that the Secretary of Defense is AWOL for 4 days and the president didn't know. I'm just concerned about a lot more issues than, you know, even more dysfunction with this administration.
All right. Well, and you spoke about this a little bit last night with Jesse, the phony fanny love story in Atlanta.
Yes.
All right. Now, it appears there's something to this. She's going to be deposed in the divorce case. And wouldn't it be ironic if a divorce case involving, you know, one of the prosecutors brings this whole thing down? And it's my opinion that Trump's going to start winning some very significant court cases. And that's going to make him look very, very attractive. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, all of the lawfare against Donald Trump based off the sinister pretenses, right? These are raw political moves being made against them that have very little basis. They're trying to whip up and somehow hope something sticks. But when push comes to shove, there's very little evidence of any of this. And, when the rubber meets the road, they're starting to realize there's not much there. There's not anything that they can really make stick to Donald Trump, despite, you know, all the fanfare, despite the nonstop breathless corporate propaganda that's trying to whip everybody into a frenzy. In reality, there's not much there. No, the whole thing with Fannie, you know, I thought that, first of all, the fraudulent use of taxpayer money with her boyfriend, fascinating.
Yeah.
But the fact that he went to the White House twice.
Yeah. And the first time only 3 days after President Trump announced he's going to run again.
Well, so this is my, you know, had the trips reimbursed, and the discussion was the January 6th prosecution before there were any indictments, which to me is more evidence that the Biden White House was really directing a hyper-partisan local Democratic prosecutor to help take out their chief political opponent, Donald Trump. So I think, again, this is just more evidence that the whole point of all of these quote-unquote, I don't even want to call them legal cases, political lawfare against Donald Trump is a coordinated effort by the Biden White House to take out Donald Trump because, quite frankly, I think they're afraid. I think they know and they've seen the numbers, and they understand that Donald Trump, if they don't take him out and is on the ballot, has a very, very legitimate chance, I would actually say is odds-on favorite at this point. And again, we have like five lifetimes until the fall elections. I would say he's probably the odds-on favorite to be able to take the White House back in November. And they know that.
And no doubt about it. I mean, they're talking on it this morning. I think it was this morning or last night on CNN with Frank Luntz. And he's, you know, got the sad, you know, puppy dog face
on.
Oh,
his beard.
So if it was today, Donald Trump would win going away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing, too, I think a lot more of the American people, as I call them the normies, and I was trying to get to this a little bit with Jesse last night. You know, a lot of the normies who don't follow politics like we do, right? I do it every day. You guys do it pretty much every day as well. Those people are actually starting to realize, and it's breaking through to them, what these cases by Fannie and Bragg and Jack Smith, all of these things, what's taking place, has nothing to do with actual real legal charges against Donald Trump. It's raw politics. So they're seeing through that, and I think that is going to break through with a lot more of these normies as we move through this year. But I also think, obviously, Bidenomics, despite all of the lies, people are living the reality of what's taking place with their paychecks and their day-to-day expenses. And I think the other thing that's breaking through, too, this horrifying situation at the southern border with the complete collapse of our immigration system. And I've been trying to hammer on this point. Yes, it's a human crisis. We should be stopping this immediately. I think we should have a moratorium on all immigration until we get this fixed. But I think people are starting to realize that Democrats, what they're doing, is we will have had 12 million illegal immigrants come in the 4 years of the first Biden administration term. Of that, Mayorkas pretty much admitted to Bret Baier over the weekend, 70% of those have been released, which means there are 10 million plus new illegal immigrants in this country that came here illegally, systematically and intentionally by the Democratic Party. And the question is why? They're importing new voters.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are realizing the raw political nature of what they're doing on the southern border. So I think a lot of this, all of this is starting to break through to the American people. That's why I'm very optimistic about the fall.
Yeah.
Dr. Ken here. Just a question for you. Do you think that the reality of the situation that the Americans are feeling on a daily basis when they go to the grocery store and do all the shopping and things like that, do you really think that's going to overpower the Democratic narrative?
You ask a great question.
Thank you.
Because I think Republicans are terrible with the narrative. I think they're terrible with actually communicating to the American people what's actually happening and their solution to it. I was just having this conversation with Sean Spicer yesterday on his podcast. You know, I think it's a very simple 30-second TV ad, especially on immigration, for example. Do you really want this situation of the southern border for national security reasons and for the drug crisis? Forget everything else that I just explained. But we don't even know who's coming into our country in a time of crisis when we're, you know, there's a lot of violence around the world and we're actually have a lot of people that hate us. We don't even know who's coming into this country and the fentanyl crisis. So I think you could do a lot of these things, but Republicans are terrible at this.
Yeah.
This has always been one of my biggest concerns that they're not great at messaging.
If the Democrats were, if the roles were reversed and the Democrats were to make such a commercial, they would bring in the mother of someone, say a little girl who's been raped and murdered by one of the illegals, and have her make the case. Because, see, one of the reasons why Republicans aren't very good at messaging is they don't understand. The way we put it around here is politics like professional wrestling. It's more emotion than it is logic and reason. And if you don't make that emotional connection, you're wasting your time.
You tie into something that we teach at American Majority, go for the heart.
Exactly.
A lot of times Republicans want to talk to the head, right? Yep. Statistics, all these things. Democrats on the left have figured out they go right to the heart. They go to that emotional appeal, and they know that if they can actually get to that emotional appeal, they teach this, actually.
Yep.
You get to the heart, it motivates the hands and the feet into action.
Exactly.
And we're stuck trying to convince people in their head, well, these statistics show that this is a terrible situation. Yeah. We need to start being better storytellers.
Yep.
You know, something that we're trying to do through American Majority, especially with state and local candidates who we focus on, but it's something that could be done much better at the national level by a lot more Republicans.
Yeah. Yeah. Reagan was good at making that connection.
Yes.
Of course, Donald Trump is good at making that connection.
Yes.
Perhaps the fact that he's a member of the WWE Hall of Fame has something to do with that.
Exactly it, Chris.
Now, real quick, how can people help you out at American Majority?
Check us out. Come check us out at American Majority. We're doing trainings. We almost did 300 trainings last year. Trained over 10,000 people to either be activists or run for state and local office. So we tell people if you're interested in running for school board, city council, county commission, state house, state senate, those local state and local offices, but don't know how to do it, check us out. Come to American Majority. We give you the nuts and bolts on how to run for office. And if you're an activist looking to be more effective, especially in this year, 2024, how can I be better at get out the vote? How can I be better at all of these things that will be necessary for us to win? Check us out. This is what we do. We train people. We equip people. Get them stronger.
AmericanMajority.com. Last word, Dr. Ken. I got to go.
One of the things that concerns me, Ned, I'm a counseling psychologist, and emotion takes a lot of energy out of people, which means they're going to have to keep ramping up the energy on the emotion as they move forward.
That's the drug.
Talking about the left. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
great.
All right, I got to leave it there, though. But we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks, and we'll be looking for you on Fox.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. We cap the week on Patriot Home Funding Friday on the road at a local hotel for the official kickoff of the Central Florida Highland Games. By chance, Pierce Outlaw, Mike McBath, and I had the opportunity to speak with David McDonald, who came all the way from Glasgow, Scotland, just to see the games. We are back. We are the American Adversaries. We are on the road at the Altamont Hilton on the eve of the Scottish Highland Games. It is a Patriot Home Funding Friday. I've got Pierce Outlaw, Mike McBath, Renee Humphreys, Kathy Santomassino, and myself, Christopher Hart. here on the mics. We got Joe Ferrero on the Battle Bridge, Jeff Sinis on the Main Bridge, and Dr. Ken has given the microphone over to a gentleman who is actually here from Scotland for the Highland Games. David, welcome to the table to do it tonight.
It's good to be here.
So are you here just for the games?
I am. I flew out yesterday, came in from Glasgow. I've got lots of friends here in Altamont, I actually used to live in Altamont Springs, and I've been back in Scotland since 2010, but I come here frequently about three or four times a year. And my friend Jackie, who owns the St. Andrew's Tavern, which you might familiar with.
Oh, yeah. Right down the street from the station.
That's right.
Yeah. So, within walking distance.
She got me a ticket, and I came along tonight to taste some of the water of life.
All right. Excellent. And so you live in Scotland, in Glasgow now, you said?
I live in Glasgow, yeah.
Is that where you were born originally?
I was born in Glasgow, yeah.
But then you moved to the United States.
I moved to the United States and spent quite a few years here, both in California and in Florida, latterly in Florida.
And actually you became a citizen?
Became a citizen in 2009.
But you decided you liked Glasgow better?
I went home, changed the circumstances, went home. I was single at the time. And took up a business opportunity in Glasgow to buy a restaurant. And about 6 months after buying a restaurant, fell in love with a nice Scottish girl in Glasgow. And the rest is history. We've got now two children together.
Wow, congratulations.
That's the anchor point that took me back home.
I bet. Now, I presume in Scotland they do these games as well. And is there like a season, or does it happen year-round? How does it work?
Generally speaking, Highland Games are a seasonal event in Scotland that work during the summer months only. You might not be familiar with the weather that we have in Scotland.
But just a little bit, yeah.
There's about a month to two-month window of opportunity to have Highland Games in Scotland, and it usually falls within June and July and some parts of August in Scotland. So,
is it broadcast on TV and stuff?
Some of them are. And, of course, the most probably publicised are the Braemar Highland Games, of which the former Her Majesty the Queen attended regularly, and now His Majesty the King attends. And that's the most televised of all.
Do you play golf yourself?
I do play golf.
You do?
Yeah.
How expensive are the courses?
Very,
right?
For the non-member, can be quite an expensive excursion to play some of the big premier courses in Scotland. Mm-hmm. So for the likes of Glen Eagles or Turnberry the Royal and Ancient in St. Andrews.
Well, Piers here just got back from Scotland.
Yeah. We were over there in June and July of 2022, stayed on the Royal Mile in Edinburgh, rented a car, and took day trips to, like, Stirling Castle, St. Andrews, through the Highlands up to Glenfiddich Distillery, and also to Dunfermline to see the Dunfermline Abbey and, of course, where King Robert the Bruce was buried.
Yep. One of the things about Scotland is we're a very small country geographically in size. So, you know, it's quite convenient for the fact that if you're fairly centrally located, if you're visiting, you can get to most interesting places within a short day excursion. So it's not like the United States is in terms of the vastness of a country, but we're small, but we're perfectly proportioned.
Go ahead.
And one of the side trips we took when we went to the Glenfiddich Distillery, when we went out of Edinburgh, you go out west and then up around the Sound to a town named Perth, and then the road splits, and my GPS took me the shortest way, not the quickest way, which took us up the eastern part through the Highlands. So we got to go past the Bryn Mawr Castle and all the sheep farms and whatnot and the ski slopes and came out and past Glenlivet into Dufton. It was just beautiful. I can't describe to you I was scared to death because it's like driving in reverse. Everything's backwards over there. So I was scared, but it was an incredible view for like 4 hours.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's as I said, it's such an easy country to get from one side of the country to another in a very short space of time. One thing I would ask, were you driving a manual or an automatic when you were there?
No, I was smart enough to get an automatic.
Okay.
Had to pay extra for it, but yeah.
Because that can be somewhat of a challenge to start finding yourself having to shift with your left hand.
You don't want an EV or anything, an electric vehicle?
I don't own an EV.
Neither do we. Put you at ease. No,
well,
we don't.
Hertz
either.
Rental Car has a bunch of them for sale if you're looking for one.
I read that today. Yeah.
What's the best restaurant to go to in Glasgow?
if you're looking for a purely Scottish experience,
that's what I mean, yeah.
Probably I would say the ubiquitous Chip is a world-renowned restaurant in the West End of Glasgow in Ashton Lane. And I would say that if anybody's ever visiting Glasgow, they want to pay a trip to Ashton Lane in the West End of Glasgow, because it's a cobbled lane dating back centuries. There's bars in the West End of Glasgow that have been along Byers Road that have been there for 300-400 years.
Wow.
Isn't Glasgow a pretty much a working community? Meaning,
very much so.
Yeah, that's always been
known. It's a huge tradition of shipbuilding coming out of Glasgow.
That's
it was one of the biggest shipbuilding cities in the world at one point. And, of course, that was the pride of Glasgow in terms of the industrial side and component of Glasgow. So certainly there's still ships built in the Clyde there, predominantly for military contracts and everything else. But
And it's undergrown an urban renewal in Glasgow now, particularly with the murals all over town and the paintings by the locals on the side of the buildings. Unbelievable.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we got that here too, but they call it something else.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Actually, there are some murals here that are quite nice. But now, you're a pretty big fella yourself, so when I saw you walk up, I thought maybe this is one of the competitors tomorrow. Have you ever actually competed in the Highland Games?
I have competed at Highland Games. It's been quite some time since I've done it, but I've done hill races in Highland Games.
What is that?
Well, usually, in most of the Highland Games, they're usually in hillside communities where they've got a large mountain that's close to it. And the deal is that, you know, you get the finest athletes in the local area to run up and down to the top of the mountain and back and down into the games area. And, you know, obviously, they win the credit of being the fittest person locally.
that's right. By the way, here's your friend here.
I know.
From St. Andrews. This is the St. Andrews pub.
This
right
is
there.
Jackie Walker from the St. Andrews Tavern in Altamont Springs, yep.
And once again, it's literally right down the street from the station.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and she's great friends with Roger Franklin Williams.
She's a fantastic friend.
And indeed she is. So, well, thanks for sitting down here with us for a little while,
You're
David.
You're most welcome. Most welcome.
Yeah, you really kind of add to the flavor of what's going on here with your accent and everything.
Absolutely.
So, how long
He's actually from Brooklyn.
How long are you going to be in the States?
I'll be here for another 9 days.
Okay.
Before I fly home.
All right.
And about the accent, most people think it's a license to print money when you can speak like this.
I know. That's funny.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
All right. And perhaps we'll see you tomorrow at the games themselves.
Yeah.
All right. What we'll do at this point, Jeff, go ahead and take the break and come back with more of the American Adversaries live on the road at the Altamont Hilton on the eve of the Scottish Highland Games. Get your tickets tonight while you can still get a discount at flascot.com/tickets. It'll be at the Central Wind Park in Winter Springs, and it's going to be a beautiful day for the games. We'd love to see you there. We'll be right back.
AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer.
Hi, I'm John Siebert, president of Patriot Home Funding, Central Florida's best mortgage broker, and we are making mortgages great again by offering the lowest rates and best service, all while not charging any lender junk fees or points on most of our products. And if you are a veteran, we will pay for your appraisal as a way of saying thanks for your service. Take the Patriot Home Funding Challenge. We'll give you 5-star luxury service and save you money. Give us a call at 407-389-5132. That's 407-389-5132. Or visit us at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker business in the state of Florida, NMLS 171699, and is an equal housing lender. John Siebert is a licensed mortgage originator in the state of Florida, NMLS 305711.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
Folks, do you suffer from nagging back or neck pain? Ever wake up feeling more exhausted than the night before? And what about that sleep partner who's turning your nights into a concert of snores or dealing with breathing issues, acid reflux, or sleep apnea? Here's the game changer. Discover a better night's sleep and a better day at Relax and Comfort. We're a unique mattress store. At Relax and Comfort, we're all about elevating your sleep experience, and we've got all the top brands to prove it, including Tempur-Pedic, Personal Comfort, and Stearns & Foster. Our smart beds aren't just beds. They're your personalized sleep sanctuary with hundreds of healthy positions. They're designed to fit you perfectly. Plus, they have an amazing feature, automatic snore detection and response. No more sleepless nights because of a noisy partner. The best part? We're conveniently located at Winter Park Village, just across from Regal Cinemas. Come see us today and experience a night's sleep like never before. Relax in Comfort, where better sleep leads to better days. That's relaxandcomfort.com or visit us in person at the Winter Park Village, just across from Regal Cinemas, a family tradition since 1967.
Network sound and video. Many folks are worried that their old videotapes are worn or broken, but aren't they worth restoring? If you could watch your children play when they were little, be there for a birthday party, sporting event, or bring back the memories of a family member, wouldn't that be priceless? Network sound and video will fix and restore your old videos so you can enjoy them again for years to come. What could be more precious than your family videos? Call 407-834-8555. 407-834-8555.
New Queso Blanco is officially on the menu at Tijuana Flats. Try it in the new Dueling Queso appetizer alongside our signature gold queso. Double down on deliciousness. Order your Dueling Queso at TijuanaFlats.com.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Westbound I-4, we've got slowdowns around the St. John's River Bridge, around Lake Mary, around Colonial, and from Kirkman out towards US 27. Eastbound I-4, slow around Osceola Parkway, also going slow around the 408 and around Fairbanks. Slowdowns on the 429 southbound coming out from the Turnpike. Your latest answer traffic, I'm Dave DiRica.
Bonnie Loss from County Bucks, I'm sure you've heard about, on the subject of the drink, and she is...
We're back. We're live. We are the American Adversaries, and Mike is doing this dance. I don't know how you can skip
it. You know, it just drives me nuts. I love the music. I love the servings of water.
Yes, indeed. Yes. How did David put it? Life's fluid? Or all right. Anyway, we're back. We're live once again at the Altamont Hilton here, having a lot of fun here. And once again, it's going to be a lot of fun had over the weekend, Central Wind Park with the Highland Games. Dr. Ken Viehek is back with us at the table.
Oh, yeah. David was a great interview, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. But that's what I was trying to say earlier. The culture, the people, they're really, really fantastic people.
And people come from all over the place, literally, for these games.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the competitors. I'm talking about
spectators. People flying. And we actually fly in our Campbell clan. Whoever our honored clan is, we fly the head of the clan in and his family. And we set up in an honored tent. You can go in and you can meet. These are actually lords, you know, of wherever they're at.
Right.
And it's really great to sit down and talk with them. And they usually bring their own whiskey.
Is that right?
Oh, that's great.
Now,
yeah.
We saw a lady and gentleman that came in a while ago. Looked very royal.
Yes.
Would they be the...
They could be, yeah.
The Campbells?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. Excellent. It's like I say, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it is.
And you'll learn a lot of stuff out there, too.
Yeah. It's educational. All the announcers that I have, I've given them the Cliff Notes cards on how the games were founded, you know, what they've morphed into. And the original game for this was a foot race. And that was so that you could become the king's taster.
Oh, my God.
Because that way you got the good food.
Really?
Yeah. That was the first original game.
You got the good food until that one time.
Until that one time, yeah. But then they had another race.
How long ago was that, kid? How many hundreds of years ago was that?
We're talking thousands.
Oh, thousands. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the games actually were started in the 700s.
Oh, okay.
719 was the first game.
Wow.
Pretty exciting.
I don't know if it was coincidence or not, but the other night as I was getting ready to go to bed, I was going through the channels, and one of the movie channels had that Mel Gibson movie on.
Braveheart.
Yeah, and it was the part where you got the two armies facing off. And
they lined up.
They mooned them and everything. I mean, it's classic stuff.
The Battle of Brannockburg Bridge.
Yep.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
which is just west of Stirling Castle.
Mm-hmm. And there really was a Henry Wallace.
Yes.
Correct?
William Wallace.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, he was the protector. And if you can go to one of the areas, one of the castles has his armor and his sword. It's a 60-pound broadsword.
Sword, is
it's
that
not
right?
A castle. It's there's a hill that overlooks the burn there, the Brannock Burn. Mm. And the battle happened when his troops pinned the British troops against that burn, and they ambushed them coming down the hill. So they built a monument at the top of the hill, and you can climb it up, I think it's 71 steps, and they have observation floors, and one of the observation floors has his armor and his sword, and his sword is like about 5.5 feet long.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's 60 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least.
Wow.
Yeah, the idea of a broadsword was not to basically wound you as much as it was to knock you down, and then they do the finishing stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just let it fall.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, and William Wallace was, he won the first Battle of Brannockburg. He lost the second one, and they chased him out, and he abandoned his army and was on the run. The British finally captured him, beheaded him, and draw and quartered him, led him throughout the city of London and all, put his head on the gates of the Tower of London.
Oh, boy.
And then King Robert the Bruce picked up the army and then defeated them and won the Scottish independence.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of really deep history.
You learn something in the Scottish Highland Games.
Pierce, you're ready for a tour guide.
He's darn close.
Jesus, yeah. He's rolling right through there.
He knows. He knows That's about great. It. Now, you said also that there's going to be was it sword demonstrations?
You can actually go learn how to do sword fighting. They're going to have, basically mock-up swords or styrofoam or some other cushy material.
Harmless, yeah.
But, you can go learn to properly fence or to use sword play. We have an archery range that's a live archery range. You can use that. We've got all kind of areas for kids to go and learn different games. We've got metallurgy there. There's all kinds of education about the culture, about what Scotland is all about and what it's done for the world.
Yeah.
I mean, think of this. Andrew Carnegie came over from Scotland and was one of the largest steel magnates of the United States of America. Built an empire. And when him and Rockefeller started giving away their money, Carnegie said, any town that wants a library, I'll put one there.
Wow.
So that's why Pittsburgh has a fantastic library, because that's where all his steel mills were started.
Sure.
And Carnegie was born in Dunfermline, Scotland. Mm-hmm. And they still have monuments to him today. There's a road that goes behind the Dunfermline Abbey and through the cemetery behind the abbey down a hill, and that's where Carnegie was born, right at the bottom of that hill.
Yeah. So there's just a lot of stuff that people may have heard or may have forgotten, but now we like to educate you every year on it.
Well, the coolest thing about the Highland Games is you do get this taste of the Scottish culture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of rare anymore. For something like this. I mean, in this age of where they say they want diversity, they really don't want diversity. They want to do away with diversity, right? The stuff like this is a threat to the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, we actually get protesters.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I hear the pipes warming up.
Oh, boy, this is getting hot. I love it.
Now, that is not bump music. That is live music that's coming from the room here where they're doing the tasting. And what does this signify?
This is the final, this pipes the people out.
Oh, okay.
Basically. But they're going to stay in there and finish their whiskeys and stuff. Right. But it just signifies that the event is over.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And they have to pay the piper. This is where that phrase comes from. What they do is they give him a dram of whiskey. After he's done, and he drinks it and holds it up over his head to show that he drank it all, upside down, they go.
Yeah. That's what I mean. There's so much ceremony and culture here.
Yeah.
I mean, and the people,
There's even some young people here, Chris.
That's
How
right.
about that?
With kilts on. Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So it's a great event. And wish you could have been here tonight, but next year, and get your tickets early.
Get them early.
This thing sold out. And but you, of course, can go to the games tomorrow.
They'll need a bigger room next year.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they added the Thursday night.
That's right.
All right.
Oh, they're coming.
All right, see
you. Notice how easily they applaud now after the five whiskeys?
Oh, it's much louder, you know, right. Without a doubt.
That's right. All right, so, and then there'll be a dinner, and the dinner is a separate, and that's where they actually do the blessing of the haggis.
Right, that's where the haggis ceremony goes on there. Now here goes, he held it up over his head upside down.
Yep. All right, to prove that he had done what he was supposed to do.
They paid the piper.
Paid the piper.
Yep. Paid the piper, that's right. All right, so this... event once again is an annual event, and
it's our 46th year.
I know,
46 years we've been doing this.
Yeah, Mike and I were thinking back in the early days because we saw the games back at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, right. We were back on 50. Yeah,
I remember the whole thing, and it was terrific then. But this thing has grown and grown and mutated into a completely wonderful show.
Yeah,
but it actually started out. Yeah. Before that, wasn't there another venue before the West Colonial Fairgrounds? Seems like they were in like maybe the Eddie Graham Sports Stadium or something like that.
Yeah, there was a smaller stadium that they were
in. For a year or two.
But that was way before I got here.
That's right.
But it just keeps growing over the year.
Expanded, yeah.
You know, like last year we figured we had 32,000 people over the weekend show up for this.
Wow.
But 5 years ago we had a hot weekend and we drank the Dunedin Brewery dry. They ran out of beer. We actually had to go to one of the other places down here and buy some kegs.
Oh, my
God. You know, it's so much enjoyable to walk around, to see the culture, to see all the different things that you can get to remind you of your time here. The different, clothing items. They've got pots, pans.
Leather
bowls,
goods.
Leathers. It's
amazing.
It's
nice to see how the people enjoy each other of the same tradition.
There are also tents. Of clans that are set up. You can take a walk along the clans and see them, and they'll invite you in to taste their stuff, you know.
Let me tell you something. Just walking around seeing people in the crowd is worth a ticket.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It's better than some of the cosplay places you go.
I'll tell you what, though. The people, I mean, really get into this.
Yeah.
And if you go, you'll see what we mean. So, once again, we'll be out there tomorrow. Our home base will be the Tijuana Flats. Food truck there, but we'll be in and out, you know, seeing the events as well. So once again, if you haven't gotten your tickets, you can still get the discount if you order them by midnight at flascot.com/tickets, flascot.com/tickets, or of course you can just get them at the gate tomorrow. And if you won tickets on our show, they will be at the will call window at the main gate there.
Correct.
So,
yep.
And there's lots of parking out there, but if the parking is full, they do have off-the-property parking with the shuttle service. Hey, David, nice. Thanks again for being on the show. There goes David McDonald.
He was on the show. I enjoy it very much.
That's indeed. All right. So,
and we do have special pricing for students and military.
That's right, students and military. So come on out and join us at the Highland Games tomorrow. And love to see you there, like I said. And it looks like, the crowd
they're
is
coming out. They're warming up for the dinner.
Yeah, that's right.
Some wobbly legs, too.
Bumbling, stumbling.
Philly Joe would notice that.
Yeah, I know.
And don't forget, after us tonight, you got Blue Darter Sports Central live with Roger Franklin Williams. When we come back after this next break, we're going to have the Killer Bee himself, B. Brian Blair, join us live from the Hive. It is his birthday. It's also Rush Limbaugh's birthday, his birthday. And it's also Hacksaw Jim Duggan's, one of his daughter's, birthday.
Very nice. We'll be seeing him in a few weeks.
What a trifecta that is.
Yeah, I'm telling you what. That's right. Yeah, we got an event coming up where Hacksaw will be there. Is that
Hacksaw's going to be there live in Orlando.
Yeah, we'll be telling you about that starting next week.